Before I pray, I want to share an experience I had in the middle of the night last night. And it's part of my prayer and part of a prophecy about this meeting. I, for some reason or other, and I know the reason, at 2 in the morning, I wakened up thinking about the Welsh Revival and Evan Roberts, the young man who went from Bible school with his prof's permission to go home to the home church and went to the pastor and said, "I have a message of God from you." I'm not going to go into that much more, probably not at all. But I'd call this a moment in time, a moment in time, that we have been called together, and God is going to speak through Pastor Larissa, and he is going to minister to your hearts and to my heart. So we're here. It's a moment in time. Tremendous responsibility on our part just to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. And with that said, I'm going to have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, precious Holy Spirit, I come to you and pray for a special anointing upon Pastor Larissa. God, I thank you for her faithfulness. I thank you for your presence and your leading. And I thank you for calling all of us together today to be challenged to perhaps make life-changing decisions about our personal lives, our future. God, I pray that you would just give clarity in the message, that you would give her power and authority and a special anointing as she shares your will and your word today. And we give you praise. And I pray for all of us who will be here being ministered to, that you would, Lord, speak to us clearly and give us courage to respond to your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, we'll keep it right there. Good morning. You all know that I believe in honor, and as I honored my pastor yesterday, I would love it if you all would stand and honor Pastor Richard and Maxine Bartholomew. That's my pastor's parents. Yeah. And he just about wrecked me with that prayer, so thank God I didn't wear mascara today. Joshua 3:5 says, "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Well, Minister Pam made the cut yesterday. Rhoda, where's my scalpel at again? It's back here. Okay. Here's my scalpel. Isn't it nice? It's scary. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Yes, ma'am. So I am here to take out the infectious parts. And it is not going to be nice, and I'm going to take you all out of your comfort zones because that's what I do. And today is a day of confrontation. And I just plan on being myself. No Max Factor today. Flawed. And just as I am. And I've come to love myself for who I am. And I want you all to get to that place today where when you leave here, you're going to be infection free. And I will put a disclaimer in here right now. I do not apologize for hurting your feelings and making you confront what needs to be confronted. But if you have any complaints and you are just angry with me, please direct all of your complaints to Pastor Charlie and to Pastor Jim. Amen. I want to talk about someone in the Bible that we rarely hear about. Her name is Rizpah. Rizpah. We can find her in 2 Samuel if you want to pull it up on your phone or your Bible. 2 Samuel, the 21st chapter. Rizpah. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and I am going to read it up until the 14th verse. I want to give you the background of who she is and how she came into the story, and then we're going to tackle some things. The word of the Lord says, "There was a famine during David's reign that lasted for 3 years, so David asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said, 'The famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites.' So the king summoned the Gibeonites. They were not part of Israel, but were all that was left of the nation of the Amorites. The people of Israel had sworn not to kill them, but Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, had tried to wipe them out. David asked them, 'What can I do for you? How can I make amends so that you will bless the Lord's people again?' 'Well, money can't settle this matter between us and the family of Saul,' the Gibeonites replied, 'and neither can we demand the life of anyone in Israel.' 'What can I do then?' David asked. 'Just tell me and I will do it for you.' Then they replied, 'It was Saul who planned to destroy us, to keep us from having any place at all in the territory of Israel. So let 7 of Saul's sons be handed over to us, and we will place at all in the, oh, I'm sorry, and we will execute them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord.' 'All right,' said the king, 'I will do it.' The king spared Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was Saul's grandson because of the oath David and Jonathan had sworn before the Lord. But he gave them Saul's 2 sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth. Now there were 2 Mephibosheths, so this was the second, whose mother was Rizpah, daughter of Ai. He also gave them the five sons of Saul's daughter, Merib, the wife of Adriel, the son of Barzillai, and Mahola. The men of Gibeon executed them on the mountain before the Lord. So all 7 of them died together at the beginning of the barley harvest. Then Rizpah, daughter of Ai, the mother of two of the men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at their bodies during the day and stopped wild animals from eating at them at night. When David learned what Rizpah was doing, Saul's concubine had done, he went to the people of Jabesh Gilead and retrieved the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan. Verse 13. So David obtained the bones of Saul and Jonathan as well as the bones of the men the Gibeonites had executed. Then the king ordered that they bury the bones in the tombs of Kish, Saul's father, at the town of Ziklag in the land of Benjamin. After that, God ended the famine in the land. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Something funny. I did my sermon on sticky notes. Don't hate on a sister. All right. Rispa's name, the etymology of her name, it means pavement or to piece together. Pavement or to piece together. Just shout back out to me, what do you do to pavement? What did you say? Walk on it. So pavement means to be walked on. Huh. Her son was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth means from the mouth of shame. I'm coming after you this morning. I'm trying to sneak in through the back door. From the mouth of shame, let me see, my mama was walked on, and then I was brought in and named shame. Well, Lord, what does that have to do with today? I think it was verse 1 that said the famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites. Anybody ever suffered the consequences because of something somebody else did? I'm making the first cut. It's okay. Isn't it amazing how because of something your mother or your father went through, they passed it on to you and you suffering because of it? Nobody ever told your mother she was beautiful, so therefore she didn't tell you. Isn't it amazing how criticism in your mother was passed down to you and now you're that person? Isn't it amazing how somebody in the family line suffered from depression and now it's all up on you now? Isn't it amazing how if one was molested, then all of a sudden it hit you and now you were molested? Isn't it something how somebody was addicted to maybe alcohol or drugs and then it was passed on to you and now you suffer from those same addictions? It's called generational curses. And whether we like it or not, we all suffer from it. The thing about it is that we're in the hospital today. And I got something a little bit stronger than penicillin. I got something a little stronger than amoxicillin. And morphine is a temporary thing, so I got something to stop the pain permanently. You see, we come to church, and isn't it awesome how we look good, we come in like nothing is wrong with us. We come in here and we to our various church places as if we are okay. Well, I am here to tell you this is the atmosphere that you don't have to be okay. I'm taking the cover off of shame and generational curses today. I'm taking it and I'm exposing it because it has been plaguing you for too long. And I'm tired of it because it's holding you back from advancing the kingdom and doing what God has called you to do. You see, the Mephibosheth that lived, I want to hit on him a little bit. He was the one that was dropped. And then he moved to Lodabar, which means the low place. Some of you in here were dropped, and you reside in Lodabar, the low place. I can't get my self-esteem back up, so I'm not worthy. I don't have an education, so I can't preach. I was raised in the church where women just cook. Let me just let you sit in that for a second. Hold on. Okay, we're back. You're in a low place. My husband really doesn't love me. I'm just charity to him. Wow. I know there's a gift stirring down deep on the inside, but I'ma just reside in the low place. All while you're in the low place, you're crying out from the inside, somebody notice me. You're crying out in the low place. Will you just understand that there's a gift on the inside of me? But I'm weighed down by some issues. Issues that's keeping me in the low place. In the low place. My awesome mother in love, that's what I call her. I was blessed. Randy's mom is awesome. Randy's mother is an ovarian cancer survivor. She's stage 4 twice. All of her sisters had cancer at the same time. You're talking about generational, right? But if she had not known the Lord, who is her healer, come on through, somebody. I don't even think she'd be here, but she knew who the healer was and is. And all she did was she had faith, but she put action to her faith. She reached out and she touched the hem of his garment and was made whole. Today, you're going to reach and you're going to be made whole. You want to talk about generational curses. Shame is major with women. It's not that we don't ask for forgiveness. Anybody in here ever had to ask for forgiveness, or am I preaching to angels? Thank you, Jen. I mean, because y'all looking at me like, I know it's heavy in here, but it's okay. Jen, just me and you then. I've had to ask for forgiveness. You too, Cindy? Me too. You got a foot up? Thank you, Rhoda. Y'all my peoples? Yes. Yes. We don't have a problem with asking for forgiveness. But the two things we have a problem from is receiving his forgiveness and then forgiving ourselves. I'm going to look over y'all head. That way y'all don't think I'm talking directly to you. Just look over your head. Why won't you forgive yourself if Jesus has already forgiven you? Is your mother's words that powerful that she cursed you that bad that you want to stay in a low place and you can't receive the Father's love and his forgiveness? We sing the songs, but do we believe them? There are many things I had to forgive myself for. And it didn't come to the surface until I stepped foot in this church. And you know how I got healed? If somebody told me, you act just like your mother. I was like, ooh, hold on, I love her and stuff, you know. I love her. Hi, Mom, I love you if you're listening. I love you. We all ain't perfect, and I picked up on some bad habits. But because somebody confronted me with the truth, I was able to not only ask for their forgiveness, but I asked him for his forgiveness, received it, and then I forgave myself. And it's a daily battle. Nobody acting like it's easy. Every day I walk in his strength and in his power, and I get weak sometimes, right? Because the enemy would be trying to come in like a flood, but his love raises a standard against whatever the enemy tries to put against me. My past is just that. It's dead and buried. Amen. And so is yours. Shame. Let's see. How do we deal with shame? Well, let's try Jesus' mother, Mary. Look, a virgin lady and up and pregnant. Yeah, I threw that one in like that. The shame of teenage pregnancy. And you trying to tell me the Spirit of the Lord overshadowed you? Girl, get out of town. But isn't it funny how she just was open to the, yes, Lord. Have your way in my life. I'll go through the scrutiny. I'll trust you. She had every right to be shamed. She could have taken that on as her new garment. The Lord chose to use me like this. And I'm just no good. But our Lord, I'll do your will. That's not what he's looking at. She was open to being used by him. And then she had this awesome man named Joseph who covered her from shame. He protected her from all of the naysayers. You'll move with me because I got you. I'm in step with you. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit wants to do to you? Doesn't he want to just cover you and say, I got you. I'm protecting you. There is no shame in doing my work. There is no shame in being used by me. If Mary could go through it in days where women were stoned and divorced publicly. What is stopping you in a time where the Lord has freed women? The woman at the well. The woman at the well had every right to know what shame was. Jesus called her out. He didn't play with her. Well, then who was that in your tent? I mean, she had the Goldilocks syndrome. She was in everybody's bed and still didn't find the right one. She couldn't go to the well when the sun was down. She had to go at high noon because the other church chicks didn't want to hang with her. Because she was doing stuff that was just unacceptable in church today. But Jesus talked to her, and he waited for her. He waited for her. Just like he's waiting for you, he waited for her. He told her about herself. That's what we call, he read her, he gave her a read, honey. He told her from the head to the toe, I know all about you. And I know who that is up in your house. But he gave her some water. And water is used for cleansing. I got some water. You'll never thirst again. He shared his heart with her. The plans that he had for her. And instantly, she went from shame to being an evangelist. Because the Bible said she ran in town and told everybody, I know a man who know everything about me. And let me tell you something. Can we say that today? I met Jesus and he knows everything about me. He knows that I'm a cusser. He knows that. Okay, can I say floozy? Because that's old school. Floozy. And he know that I don't pray on the regular. And he knows about my family business and my family history. And he knows I'm on meds. And he knows that I drink some Hennessy on occasion. And he knows that I like to puff pass every once in a while. And he knows that I don't know how to properly love my children because I wasn't properly loved. He knows me. Why are you ashamed of the fact that he knows you, but you don't want nobody else to know you? Because your testimony is the key to unlocking somebody else's door to freedom. But yet we sit in church
trying to act perfect. I gave that up long time ago. Shame. I got one more thing, and then I'm going to get to RISPA, and then we're going to be done. Anybody ever suffer? Don't show me your hand. Just, like, look straight ahead, like, you know what I'm saying? Anybody ever felt like they were looked over? It's like I can see straight through. You don't exist. You don't matter. Anybody ever been looked over? You were like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You were not good enough to play in any reindeer games. But isn't it funny, you're that chick that's like Rudolph, right? They don't want to play with you. But as soon as darkness hit, they need you to light the way. So they call you on the phone. But when it's time to have fun, nobody want to talk to you. But when it comes to heavy stuff, that's because that's who you're called to be, a light in darkness. Stop trying to be popular and be ministry tool for Jesus. Y'all with me still? Yes. You're looked over for a reason. We didn't come to fit in. We came to take over for the kingdom of God. And some of us are on a covert operation. We got to play it on the down low. No, I can't hang with Julie every time she come up here. She's a good time girl. But when Julie need me, I bet you I'll be there. Why? Because there's a light that I need to present in a way that's going to help turn her towards her calling, towards the cross of Jesus. Being looked over is not a bad thing. It's just consecration, because you're set aside for special use, and everybody can't put their hands on something that's consecrated. I don't need... gossip touching me. I'm consecrated. I don't need criticism touching me. I'm consecrated. But when my sister calls on me that is flawed and not too much in Jesus, one foot in the church and one foot in the world, that's when I come out of consecration and I'm here on the scene as a representation of who Jesus is. Yes, sister, I see you for who you are, but I'm looking at you, and Jesus is saying all is well, that you're beautiful, that you're called, that you're highly favored, that you're the head and not the tail, above and never beneath, so stop living in the low place. David was overlooked. Pam hit it on last night. She talked about it, but let me tell you what being overlooked does for you. You get noticed by the king, and that's the one that matters. Yo, that's the one that matters. See, David wasn't even in the house. Dude was out tending sheep. Did he ever come in the house is my question. Jesus is saying, you're welcome in the house. You're welcome in the house. Well, Jesus ain't got no keys to the house. A willing heart is your key. A yes, Lord, is the key. David was in training for what he was about to become. You were in training for who you are now. Why you came to Ignite, I came here to tell you. It's because the king has noticed you. and the horn of oil is ready to be poured out. Oh, I'm not playing with you today. The horn of oil is ready to be poured out. Because you're worthy. Because you stayed in the fight. And it didn't kill you. And it didn't discourage you. And you kept going. That's a warrior. That's a soldier. The oil is ready to be poured out. Let me tell you about Rizpah, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to be done. What? Okay, no, I'm not. Okay, so so it's all about timing with David. It was all about timing. You stay in position until he promotes you. I'm talking to leaders in this room. That's everybody sitting here. It's timing until he promotes you. You stay on the wall until he calls you somewhere else. And it took for the king to come to him, anoint him. And then what happened? Did he go right into being a king? Did y'all go to Sunday school?
He did not. No, he did not instantly become a king.
Didn't he go back to doing what he was doing and then became Saul's, what we call in the Pentecostal church, armor bearer? He served the one he was about to succeed. And did he do it with an attitude? Did he serve him even though he was doing wrong? Did he serve him? Isn't it amazing when our husbands make us mad, we don't want to serve anymore? Cut! Cut! You're the head of our household. You're the priest of our home. Why ain't you take out the garbage? I'm done. Good night. I'm done. Isn't it amazing how we get out of order just because somebody make a mistake, but yet you expect grace when you make a mistake? Oops, sorry. We blame, and I'm not saying they blameless, but let's just be grown about it. We blame everybody else instead of looking at ourselves. Grow up and be mature. Serve the one that's making you angry. Until God releases you, until God promotes you. Yeah, everybody, okay, let me just stay here for 2 seconds. Your husband may make you mad, but you in covenant with Jesus Christ. You in covenant marriage. Sanctify your household and pray for him. Pray for him. Don't complain, pray. Confront in love. Honey, when you make sandwiches, please, can you just wipe those crumbs up? Roaches are not our friend. You little handsome man, you. Just saying, just example. But if he doesn't do it, why are we going to waste our energy getting mad at something like that instead of serving in our home? Because the woman sets the atmosphere in the house. We set the atmosphere in our home. The enemy tried to get in. I only been married a little over a year. And my husband is now working with this awesome dude, and they're working, and he comes home with this new cologne called Diesel Fuel on, and it just really, takes your breath away. And so, I make sure I heard from the Lord. I prayed, and the Lord said, Larissa, cut out a lot of church activities because you need to be home. To consecrate and to serve your husband and to get your house in order. And I said, yes, God. I sent an email to Pastor Kent and told him, this is what I'm doing.
I always say ministry begins first at home. So now Randy comes home with the new cologne on, and he's all dirty and stuff. And, like, you know, I like my shoes and I like my clothes. And so, but I still hug him. And even when we were going through the dry period, even when he was not working, you know what I did? I'd come home. I said, "You are such a provider for our family. You are such an awesome husband. Thank you so much for the things that you do." I didn't speak to him where he was. I spoke to him about the man that he is going to be and that he still is. I'm here to speak to you that you may be flawed and molested, but God says that you're whole and pure. I'm speaking to you that you may say that you have shame, but I'm saying that we're lifting that today and giving you a garment of joy and cleanliness and wholeness. You see yourself where you at, but God is saying, come up a little higher out of the low place so I can tell you really who you are. I love mothers. I'm mother to a great calico cat. I think mothers are awesome. I think women who are called to the home are awesome. So I'm not putting any of that down. But what I am saying is you call to more. I just feel like such and such is on my mind today. Pray. It's nothing. My first call was to be an intercessor. We got to battle for our sisters in the spirit. Stop looking at where you are. And look to where God is calling you. Okay, I'm going to cut my notes. Okay, I'm going to cut. Who got a time? What time is it? I can't see that far. 10:20. Okay, all right. All right, I'm almost done then. Let's talk about RISPA. Subject to the Holy Spirit, y'all. Stop playing. This is serious. The Bible said that when Rizpah's sons were executed, the Bible said that she spread some burlap on a rock. Pam, let me get that prayer shawl. It said she spread some burlap on a rock. Thank you, ma'am. And that she stayed there the entire harvest season, which was April through October. She went up on a rock. The Bible said that she got up on a rock. She spread the burlap on the rock. Now it was that season. It was harvest and barley season, and so some commentaries say that she spread the burlap on the threshing floor. The threshing floor is where they take and they crush. They crush to get to the good stuff. And they grind. And then you throw it up. And everything that's bad and chafe blows away, but the good lands back on the threshing floor. See, some of you cursing your blessing. You're supposed to be on the threshing floor. Because in order to be used, he got to pound all that out of you. I'm not worthy. I am what I my mother said that I am. I'm going to have cancer like everybody else in my family. I'm going to be an alcoholic. I'm not going to serve in church because we don't do that here. I'm just going to stay in the kitchen. He got to pound all that stuff out of you. And then once he throws up and all of that stuff blows away, what's left is what is use for the kingdom. She got up on the rock. The Bible said that she was there and she kept her eyes from April until October on the bodies of her dead sons. And she looked. And she looked. There's Ariel. There's Mephibosheth. And then it says by day the fowls came in. You know, she was sitting up on that rock
And for us, we're like, whoa, that's a dead body up there. That's something dead up there. But for her, that was legacy. Whew, that was legacy. And then all of a sudden, with them things called turkey vultures, let's say it was a turkey vulture. She see the dead bodies. The Bible said that she came and they were coming to peck at the flesh of her legacy. And the Bible said she smoothed the birds. She, just get out of here. Just don't touch my sons. Don't touch my legacy. See, I'm thinking what you're going through. Some of y'all passing it on to your children, but let me tell you something. Today it's worth protecting. Oh, it's worth protecting. My daughter won't operate in her flesh like I did. It's worth protecting. My son won't be an alcoholic like his father. It's worth protecting because the enemy is coming in and he's trying to take my legacy. Because I went through it don't mean you gotta go through it. And oh my gosh, I break the back of poverty off of my children. They may seem dead to the world and may seem dead to some of you church people who operate in religion, but I'm here to tell you, your children aren't dead. Your legacy is gonna live. And then the Bible said that she went back up. She on the hill and on the rock. And see, the rock is significant. Because what does the rock represent, y'all? Talk to me, church. She stayed on the rock when everything looked dead. She didn't move off of Jesus. She didn't move off of his word. She stayed on the rock. We don't need you to quote scriptures when all is well. I need you to know how to wield that sword when the enemy is coming and trying to kill your children. I need you to know how to wield that sword, which is the word of God, when you think your marriage is falling apart. I need you to know how to use the word of God when all hell is breaking out in your life. I don't need to hear cute Bible verses when all is well. It's easy to serve him when everything is good. But what kind of Christian are you? What kind of woman of God are you when the storms of life come in and you act like you can't even quote a scripture? You want to give up. Nonsense. Today you will rise. Today you will confront what's been trying to kill your legacy. Because at night, they said that the four-legged creatures would come in and try to rip at the flesh of her children. See, it's in the midnight hour. We always want to hear, you know, well, at midnight, Paul and Silas, y'all. They sang a little song and prayed a little prayer. In the midnight hour when somebody is trying to attack your children, it's in the midnight hour when somebody's trying to attack your dreams, your hopes, take your healing away from you. That's when the enemy comes in and tries to whisper in the midnight hour, you're not gonna make it. That's when the enemy comes in at nighttime. And the Bible said she was at it again. She went up against wolves, y'all. What mountain lions? She wasn't scared because she was protecting legacy. She was protecting what was important to her. How important is your anointing to you? Are you willing to protect it? Are you willing to fight for it? Or are you willing to stay entwined in religion? I ain't gonna get no amens and I don't care. Your anointing is worth protecting. You are not just called to be on this earth to be beautiful. You are called to be the handmaiden of God Oh, you're called and you're highly favored. There's some Anna's in this room. Anna's husband died, and that woman stayed in the church. Isn't it amazing how soon as something go wrong in our life or somebody hurt us in the church, I ain't coming to church no more. But if Verizon mess up your bill, y'all don't leave Verizon. Y'all get mad and y'all stick with Verizon, right? Like, listen. Can I make a payment arrangement? Like, but as soon as one person in the church hurt you, you ready to go. That was me. Anna had staying power because she prayed through until the promise came to pass. I'm speaking prophetically here. There are Annas in the room. I know this is, I'm going to stop. I got so much, Lord Jesus. I want to hear Pastor Jim's parents. I do. Listen, if Rizpah stayed on the rock, I want you to hear me clear. Somebody noticed her up there. And what happened? They went and told the king. And the king honored what the man says is crazy, God honored. Her protecting her children, her legacy. And the bodies were brought down and were given a proper burial. Melissa, move this out the way for me. Proper burial. If Rizpah could face lions, tigers, turkey vultures, give me something real easy, Pastor Charlie, please. Something real easy. I'm telling you, you can fight against molestation and overcome. You've been raped, you've been hurt, you're dealing with family, generational curses. I'm speaking the generational blessings over you. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Let me see. Pastor, where's that vial of oil at? Do we have it anymore? The big thing of it? It's in the prayer room? Okay, don't worry. You got me? Let me tell you something. This message is for everybody in this room. Thank you, sir. And just like, Pastor, I'm going to use the floor for a second, but it's going to be okay. Just like the oil ran out over David's head because it was time. It's time for you to get under the horn of oil and accept your position in the kingdom. Cindy, get your prayer team up here. Come on, Miss Donna. Randy, kill my lights. I'm going to just simply say, come. I am going to simply say, come. I don't care who's sitting next to you. I gave up a long time ago caring what people thought about me. When I was in high school, my hair wasn't good enough. When I went to college, my skin wasn't light enough. I grew up, don't believe compliments when somebody tell you cute is for dogs and puppies. I lived in Lodabar. But when I tell you I'm out, I'm out. The altar is open. I want you to come.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you're the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Touching every heart, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. Turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Way maker, miracle worker, promise.
worship. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. Yes, I worship you. Turning lives around, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. Oh, I worship you, my God. Oh, I worship you, Lord. Touch my heart. You're the
are some of you that are out here, and I can sense it. I hear it in the spirit. The altar is open. But there are also some of you that are here that are saying, Larissa, I'm ready for my assignment. Y'all already know I'm weird. And you know that I'm going to do what the Lord tells me. But if you would say, I just need a touch. I need a recommitment, but I'm ready for my oil. I just want you to stand up for me. That's all I'm saying, is just stand up for me so I can see who you are. If you are ready for that fresh anointing, for some fresh fire, can you stand? I see one, I see two. Pastor Richard, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but if I give you a chair, the way you prayed for me, can you just touch every woman? Pastor Maxine, will you join them? Give me two chairs up front. And I just want you all just to line up and let them touch you. Let them anoint you and pray over you. There's something in them that needs to be deposited to this generation. I got you. Sir, it's Maxine right here, ma'am.
You are here, moving in our midst.
I want you just to come and let them pray and let them touch you. Come on through.
You are here working in this place. Oh, I worship you, Lord.
I worship you,
my Lord.
I worship you. You are here
moving in our midst, Lord. I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you, my God.
Touching every heart.
here. Turn my life around.
Turn the lights around.
As I worship you, Lord.
Worship you.
Oh, I worship you, Lord. Spirit of truth.
You are here.
Bending every heart.
I worship you. My tears, you mend my broken heart. You're the answer to it all, Jesus. You wipe away all the tears, you mend my broken heart. You're the answer to it all. You're my waymaker,
miracle worker,
promise keeper,
fighting
the darkness. My God,
that is who you are. Oh, you're the waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper,
fighting the darkness. My God,
that is who you are.
I worship you, Lord.
I worship you.
worship you, Lord.
We worship you. Touching every heart, worship you, worship you. You are here, healing every heart, worship you. Yes, I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
fullness of eternal promise, stirring in your sons and daughters, earth revealing heaven's wonder. Spirit, come. Spirit, come. What you spoke is now unfolding. All your children better be holding. Dreams away.
Spirit just wants you ladies to know that when you're coming up for prayer, that it's more than just prayer. It's the impartation of the Holy Spirit that these brothers and sisters have experienced, and they're passing it on to you as they're praying for you, to this generation out there that maybe has not experienced what the Holy Spirit can do in your life, but these saints have. They're imparting it to you as they're praying and laying their hands on you. I just want you to know that.
Let our hearts continue burning for our King soon returning. As we hold to this assurance, Spirit come, Spirit come, yes, Spirit come. Your glory fill this
What I'm going to do, because they have a workshop, I'm going to ask all the ladies that are left to come and gather around them. Come gather around them. Come gather. Yeah, kneel. Do what you can. Long as you can get back up, arthritic and all. In Jesus' name. Yeah, gather around them. I'm going to hold the microphone for them, and they are going to pray, because y'all responded, and wow. So who going to pray first?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for pouring out your Holy Spirit like you've been doing this last while.
Thank you.
Thank you for every one of these dear ladies that are here. And Lord, these ones right here, I thank you, Lord, that they are receiving what you have for them.
Yes.
And I just pray that they might determined to be faithful and to be a bright witness, a light wherever they, in their world, and that you will guide them and help them to see, Lord, that you do have a purpose, and you will lead them, and you will give them all that they need, the wisdom, the determination. So, Father, thank you for what you're going to do for them.
Yes, and I pray you'd give them clear understanding of what your will is for their lives, that you would bless, that you would anoint them with your Spirit for the task you've called them to. We just praise you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin, and that through the blood we stand tall in you. Oh, God, bless. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. You two can just stay seated right here, so because we want to look at how beautiful you are. Can we get a... Pam, what's the plan? What time is it? 11:05. So, yeah, obviously I ran over. Why don't we do a 10-minute break, and then we'll come in, and Pastor Richard and Pastor Maxine will begin the first workshop. So let's take a 10-minute break. Charlie, give me some happy music getting us out of here. 10 minutes, everybody get refreshed.
I've heard a thousand stories of one day. You make your life.
Who I am, it's who I am.